Morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is February 26, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on and Jeff, who's a financial expert. Now, I see folks right off the bat. I just want to bring up something. We're having beautiful weather here, about 50 degrees today. I mean, yesterday we had it up in that range. Next few days, thank God, but coming out of the deep freeze. Here's what I see on TV. Local ads being run by the United States government for IRS agents, IRS people, temporary help at $17 to $24 per hour for the United States government job. I see another ad running that they need U.S. federal prison guards over in Lawrence, Kansas, and they're paying $42,000 to $50,000 a year wages. Now, here's my whole point. They're up there yelling and screaming, minimum wage needs to be raised from the $7 an hour, roughly it's at or whatever it is, up to $15 an hour. Now, it'll have a ripple effect, and I want Jeff to talk about this, but here's my whole point. They can't even get minimum wage to people at $15 an hour, but they could pay $17 to $24 an hour for a federal employee job. Now, federal employees make double the amount of money federal employees doing the same job as the private sector, but yet they're making $17 to $24 and they're trying to pay the private sector $7 an hour. Jeff, pick it up from there, please. You're a financial expert.
Well, thank you, Stu. That's a big expenditure for, it doesn't sound like much going from, say, 14 to 15, but when you're a small business owner and you're the backbone of the American economy, and that burden of taxation primarily falls upon you, now you're asked to increase your expenses due to wages in an environment with reduced capacity to service and or help your clientele. And that's the burden. You've got to pay more and you're getting less. And that's supposed to be satisfactory. So those kind of things are all tipping points, and we talked about them. And when you look across the financial stance, you can see that there's pressure points. And this is certainly one of them. So now you have a burden, increased burden on your small business owner. Then he has to comply with regulatory bodies and say, hey, look, are you complying with your mandates? Do you have people wearing their masks? Do you have people cooperating with the health departments? So, and the health departments come down on the small business owner as well. You destroy the middle class person, and I don't know what you end up with other than serfdom, which I'm sure Paul could address because, if we get into history then, have we seen this before?
Now, you made a comment about the government. It produces nothing, but yet it pays its employees double the amount of money plus of minimum wage. For IRS agents, three times the amount, instead of $7 an hour, basically $24 an hour, almost three times the amount. They produce nothing, do they?
They are there to serve, aren't they? I mean, it's the services. They're a service industry is how they see themselves.
Now,
We
got half the employed people in the United States roughly work for the government. The other half work for the private sector. And the private sector, when Daddy Bush arrived, according to the General Accounting Office, 1% of the population controlled 20% of the economy. In 1995, the General Accounting Office, watchdog for the Congress, the Senate, says, it's their numbers from IRS, Comptroller of Currency, etc. Says, and U.S. Treasury, says to the U.S. Congress, the Senate, that 95% of the economy is now controlled by 400 men, which are the 12 disciples of Satan, they call them, is buffer, the 12 that control the economies of basically the world and our money supply, controlling the U.S. Treasury. Now, the small business people, that's 5% of them out there. These are little restaurant owners, bar owners, the little small businesses. What has happened to this, Jeff, during this COVID virus epidemic or pandemic or whatever you want to call it. What has happened to those people?
Well, a lot of them, they're trying to put them on this be satisfied with the PPP or universal income and say, hey, look, you know, you can't go back to work. We're going to give you a fraction of what you were getting, and we're going to give you a $1,400 stimulus check. I think, Stu and Paul, it's moving more towards, hey, we really don't want you providing a business or a service, but we will provide you an income. But in taking that income or that payment, you're acquiescing to our overall objective, and that is to have automation replace workforce with as much ability as possible, and keeping a few service jobs like your technicians in areas that they can't get automation for. So you might need a plumber, you might need somebody to weld materials, you might need somebody who can do electrical work, this kind of thing. So the jobs that are not what they want to call essential, they'll call a lot of things non-essential, and that's, a lot of those people couldn't go back to work. Hell no, that's not essential. Sorry, you can't go back to work. But what a dictation. What a dictatorship. No, you can't go to work. That's not essential. So, but they deemed what they wanted to deem essential, which could be a restaurant that's serving the Hollywood movie set. And across the street, this lady was saying, hey, I want to open my business. They opened up a restaurant to serve the Hollywood people. But yet, I can't open it. But now you're not essential. So Hollywood is essential, but she wasn't essential. Well, again, it just depends on who you are. Not what, who you're connected to. It's by design. We are in the heading to the Great Reset. Got to get cooperation, even if it's forced.
Now, financially, we're going to be reset very shortly, do you think?
Well, it seems like pieces are in place for that. You know, there is a facility called the repo, the repo market, where banks trade with each other for overnight lending and payrolls and just money that shuttles through back and forth. And it's a big pool of liquidity that's drawn upon by institutions and you know, hedge funds, I assume, tap into that too. But there's a lot of money that goes into that pool. And some of the pressure points are when we saw, I think, last September, that overnight money that's usually about a quarter of a basis point, 25 basis points, quarter of 1%, suddenly that thing jumps up to 12% because everybody's looking at each other saying, got their arms around their own resources saying, we don't want to lend it at any price. What's happening? Well, they flooded that pool, Fed did, with a bunch more money. So there is problems that are being patchworked. Problem is they're not dealing with the main issues. And so we know there's much bigger problems brewing. Again,
hold on, there's Joel. Let's bring him in the conversation. Hang on, gentlemen.
Yep.
Hold on, Joel. We're doing the show. Hang on. Okay, we have him in here. Paul, are you still there? And Jeff?
I am.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So I was just winding up. I know there's some things that Paul wanted to discuss too, but as far as just the economic impact, yeah, you know, we're seeing it now, and I'll just close with this too, but you take the pipeline as an example too. You take those jobs away, now what happens? Well, you get people that have to haul your fuel by truck. Now you got truck transport on the interstate, wearing down your roads, costs money to use diesel, very thing you think you're saving, you're fueling up, and you're running up and down like the interstates again. So it's just really a poor mismanagement of resources by people who are incompetent economically generally. They're just not real sharp when it comes to that. You know, it's a popularity contest, and those players that are plugged in, and they're not necessarily well-rounded in economics, but they try to get advisors. But, I mean, look what's happened. I mean, this whole thing's been a real crap show. They got gas about, what, 274 now since Sleepy Joe got in. Look at how much that's gone up. So anyway, yeah, they think they're going to solve the problem. They create two more.
We were having a discussion, Joel, since you just joined us, Professor Joe, folks, that we were having a discussion about, in fact, Joel, I noticed on the TV they were running IRS temporary jobs from $17 to $24 an hour, and they were running ads for U.S. federal prison guards over in Lawrence at $42,000 to $50,000 a year, and they're having a debate over $15 an hour in minimum wage. So I was bringing that up And we were having a discussion how they're shutting down all the small businesses, driving them out of business, and how the 400 control the economy.
Well, those kind, every one of those jobs are Fed jobs, are government jobs. All government jobs are tax-based. Where do they get the tax base? From the American taxpayer. Who now, 50% of the jobs went out of business. These are small jobs, one connected to the other because of the lockdown. 50%. So consequently, how can you have any economy? Consequently, how can you pay federal jobs eventually? How can you carry on as you are? They want it that way, and that's what I've concluded. They want it that way, because then you'll have the universal income, which will be a crumb. This is what happened in the Bolshevik Soviet Revolution. I had a friend that went over to Russia. This was like about 10 years ago on a visit when Putin was under control and trying to straighten out things. And he watched this old woman who probably was in her 70s. And this was wintertime. And she would stuff papers into her clothing. She had this big, bulky one coat. And her place, now when you are homeless, that means you have no place to go to. Think of yourself like when you run an errand. You run an errand from the place where you are at. That is called your, in Spanish, your habitation. It's the place that is you. And when you're homeless, you have nothing. Nothing. You don't even have that. But these homeless people will pick out spots, a place. And this woman's place was a bench. And this was, it was getting cold and beginning to snow. And she laid down on the bench in her wear, in a way so that she could keep somewhat warm, and that was her place of habitation. That is what the Bolshevik Soviet Zog funny money economy does. It sucks the life out of everything. It leaves nothing. And it filters its way up to the very, very, very rich, like Bezos and some of these other guys. And so when you see these advertisements, oh, there's a good job market. No, it's not a good job market, because I can tell you, to be a prison guard is horrible, horrible, because the prisoner never shuts up, never. It's this constant noise. And the only time that they shut up is from the shift that goes from 10 until 6 a.m. in the morning, and the shouting and the yelling and the pushing and the shoving is horrendous, and it's a job that people don't last very long. IRS, same thing, because people hate income tax. You have to face the anger of people and their income tax. So when you see these jobs, to me, what you quoted is a state of being, and it is a crumbling into nothing. There is no asset. We have one little thing that has happened here in Arizona. It just happened. They snuck in, not through the state legislature. It's not law. It's policy by Governor Ducey. We call him douchebag because he belongs to the Chamber of Commerce and the Phoenix 40. It is now acceptable for the Mexican consulate ID to be an acceptable ID here in Arizona. Get what that means? It's an official ID from Mexico. And you can go over here to the Mexican consulate, pay $20, and you get an ID when you're illegal. And that becomes an official ID. So when the cop pulls you over or Border Patrol, do you have ID? Yes, here, sir. Here's my ID. Get what that means? No borders. No borders. El Paso, Texas, or a friend of mine two tours of Afghanistan, had 4 months left. He was being discharged out of Fort Bliss, Texas, and he said, I got tired of seeing bodies all over town. I was going to re-up for 4 months and spend and finish it off in Afghanistan. That's what's waiting for us.
And so many people think that the parasites in charge care about them. And so many, apparently, at least over half of Americans, are willing to take the jab. And I got thrown out of the hardware store yesterday, guys, for refusal to wear a mask.
Good for you. You resisted.
I mean, I don't know what else to do at this point other than just civil disobedience. We've got nothing to lose at this point. And I was just amazed and astonished at how I was treated. But that people will self-police like that tells me that my neighbor, your neighbor, our neighbors, their name is Wolf, W-O-L-F-E, first name Marcus. We live in a surveillance state where everything we're doing is video photographed, categorized. They know who we are, where we are at all times. And somehow people think that if we just play nice and go along, we're going to build back better. It's just so much nonsense, you guys. And we started off with the economy, and I just want to point out that the economy has been gone for a long time. I really thought 2007, 2008, once they did that bail-in, so to speak, and Stu, I think, over a number of programs has really cleared up how the economy doesn't work. And essentially, we went from a middle class or a majority, maybe with 75, 80% of wealth, and the 1% with 20%. Now it's the 1% or that half of the 1% have 99.5% of wealth. All we have is phony dollars that people will still accept. And what I would say to everyone is I think economic collapse is not far off. And if you can buy everything from water to tuna in a can, I think it will be a wise move. I look for the economy to be shut down by April the 4th. I think a lot's going to happen between now and April the 4th. Predicting the future is impossible for us because God's not telling me what his plan is. Well, God has revealed his plan, and we're getting very close to the collapse of America, the insanity that is Washington, D.C. I heard last night, or I read, one or the other, that now the FBI is targeting all of the senators and congresspeople, House of Representatives, who are asking, who wanted to look into election fraud, wanted to know what's going on with the fence around the Capitol and so forth. And I sent everybody that I could think of a two-minute caption from Norah O'Donnell, CBS, the One Eye Nightly News. And you can see the FBI has been very busy. They are setting up false flags. And now their narrative that they're going to push in the next 90 days is domestic terrorists, domestic terrorists, domestic terrorists. Now, we all know that 8 out of 10 in any sort of patriot cell are probably FBI. But just try and explain that to your neighbor. I mean, we just live in such madness, such insanity. I feel like I'm in an asylum today. And I don't have any real good pointers for anyone other than connect with anybody that you can. We try and do these shows to either validate what you know or provide new insights or to generate insights from you about what you know. But I think getting firsthand intelligence is pretty difficult anymore. But what I can project, surmise, conjecture is that they're gonna set the false flags in motion for domestic terrorists and the gun grab. And boy, I tell you what, that is going to, I think, set things in motion. And that's what they want. what Kissinger say? The illegal we do immediately, and the legal takes more time. Well, they're doing both simultaneously. I think time seems to be speeding up, and but there's a bigger force at play than we, I think, can always make the connection with, and that's the Grins Technologies. They have since the 1900s really been focused on merging man and machine, or merging carbon with silicon. And what we're seeing is, with genetics and CRISPR technology and vaccines and robotics and artificial intelligence, with D-wave quantum computing and the internet and the Internet of Things and information technology and nanotechnology and synthetic biology, those trends are very, very far along. In fact, they were very far along probably by the 40s and certainly by the 70s. And now they think they're far enough along to merge themselves with silicon or machine. And Bill Joy wrote a really impressive piece. It made an impression on me in 2003. He was the CEO of Sun Microsystems. And Bill Joy said in 2003, the future doesn't need us, meaning humans. And that's my way of tying in everything that we've said so far. Those parasites that can only make people miserable, suffer, deceive, be deceived, and ultimately killed, that's their agenda. And we just, I don't know how many people we can wake up, but we got to keep trying, pass this along. Everything we're fed on the news is a conspiracy theory. CIA developed the term conspiracy theory to marginalize people. The true conspiracy theories, theorists are those from the mainstream media, those from government. All they do is pummel us with conspiracy theories. And all I had to do is walk in the hardware store and see Marcus Wolf, Marcus Wolf, Marcus Wolf, Marcus Wolf, and they pounced on me. I mean, it was like they had a support network, you know? And I said, guys, now I won't take your free mask. I really don't want to do business with you, and that's really too bad. Take care. God bless. And that's about where I am anymore, guys. Back to you.
And by the way, I've lost thought. You just made a comment. I lost thought. Brain fart didn't come out. Sorry, folks. Jeff, you want to jump back in, or Joe, on what Paul said?
Yeah, I'm addressing that real quick. You know, Elon Musk has a program called Neuralink, and one of the things that he wants to do with it, and it was a bulkier, bigger, bulkier way of trying to interface with the human mind originally. The idea had a little bit more complexity, it was a little bulky, but they simplified it. And so now I think about, by the size of a quarter, they can take a little piece of your cranium out and replace it with a quarter, maybe even a dime at this point. But what Neuralink was able to do was give the ability to, let's say you wanted to speak Italian, well, you could speak Italian. You can upgrade. And part of the trend with that is, if we can build back better, we can upgrade ourselves to speaking multiple languages, to being more machine-like, then we have more to offer a system which embraces that. So making that jump from, as Paul was saying, from human to machine, where are you going to go with it? Well, you want to interface. I mean, you want to be able to function in a world that is leaving a lot of people behind. And so you'll have plenty of those people in my mind that are going to say, hey, give me the upgrade. I want the upgrade. I want to be a math wizard. I want to be a mechanical engineer. I want to speak five languages. You know, you can download this information into your memory, and then you too can have a memory. But you can also erase some of those things that you didn't like about your past. You don't have to be confined to that reality. There's a whole new reality awaiting you. So this is the mixing of the sorcery with the technology, and in my opinion, obviously demonic influence, and it's the the knowledge of the age. I mean, we are moving into a wizardry type of environment with some of this stuff, where there seems to be no ends to its continuation or what it might accomplish. And I guess that's kind of the danger of the whole thing is you don't necessarily look at somebody and you don't necessarily see a human being. You see somebody with a face covering that doesn't smile back. You see lifelessness in their eyes. That maybe this is the great escape, the virtual reality of now you can have this. Maybe there's something on a flatter way to be offered, and we have to all be miserable enough with our condition, our circumstances.
There's so much doublespeak going on anymore. We have really reached the point where black is white, up is down. It's all an inversion. And because they control the media, they control the educational system, they control the entertainment, they control the technology. And somehow we humans are unable to see through what's really going on. And, you know, I always thought about Jesus being the shepherd, and the thing about the shepherd and the sheep is the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. They won't respond to somebody else's voice, but they will to the shepherd. And what we've got right now is a bunch of wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm trying to think, it's the Fabian Institute. You know, they've got two mottos or two logos. One is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and the other, I think, is the tortoise and the hare. And it is a recurrent theme with me, I know. And to the audience, I apologize if I repeat myself, but they have long-range plans, short-range plans, big plans for us. And their plans are to eliminate us and to get us to go along. And in the meantime, they're going to mock us and have us pay for our execution. And so I know that I sound discouraged today, because I think I really am. And that's really about all I have to contribute for today. Back to you guys.
And when you talk about executions, folks, I got some videos I'm going to be putting up on the internet here shortly, so you can see what they're already doing to me. With that said, Joe, you got any last comments, or Jeff?
Well, there is a man by the name of Colonel Rowe, and he was captured by, he was Special Forces, he was captured by the North Vietnamese, held for 5 years in a jungle, beamed his captor over the head with a stick and knocked him out and escaped. When he came back, he revamped the best survival school going is the Special Forces Survival School, 21 days. The last week they put you into a prison camp, made up prison camp with professional actors, and they put you through the grinder. But the theme that he said was, because every guy has to swear an oath to support the Constitution and not to capitulate with the enemy. But Colonel Rowe found, because of mind control, they replaced the word never to capitulate with the word resist, because he said everybody has a breaking point, and what you do is you learn to resist. And so my theme for everybody out there in this time of discouragement is that you learn to resist. In other words, you push against them as they push against you. Here's a little thing that I do. Because I worked the securities industries for a long time, I learned CCTV cameras. And what I've learned and taught myself is to spot cameras. And I know what angle they show, and so I get out of that angle, and I might go down a sidewalk a little bit out of the way, or a street a little bit out of the way, and that's my form of resistance. So there's all kinds of forms of resistance that you can do in your time of discouragement. And keep that in mind. It's not capitulation, it's resist. That's it.
Good point.
Hey guys, I have to sign off. I get to do something good for someone else who has an emergency. And so in addition to resisting, doing things for others, I think makes us feel good. I don't know how much time any of us have left. We're all going to turn to dust anyway, but
I'm going to close it with prayer, Paul.
So I got to sign off, but thank you guys.
Jeff, right. Jeff, you want to close this in prayer?
Sure. God, may your hand be upon us. May your eyes be upon us. May we never be out of your sight. We are wayward sheep. We know it, but we need you. And there's just no getting around it. We need you encompassing us. We need you surrounding us with who and what and you are and all the attributes that you have. God, we honor. You are true. You are holy. You are honest. You are just. You are righteous. You are omnipresent. You are everything. You are our everything. Please live out through us, through the Spirit, your will. We totally need and depend upon you. Thank you for the day. Protect Paul, protect Joel, protect Sue, protect our listeners. Lord, I'd even ask, there's a little small dog that would ask if the audience would pray about vaccine. She has a terribly curved spine, and it's impeding her breathing. By the way, it's choking out her diaphragm. God, would you please remember, even a little dog that we care about in this side of the world over here. I know it's a small issue, but God, all those things that people have need of, God, that in the audience as well, that are far greater, but we would just ask that your mercy would be extended in all things, even the little things, because you're God that delivers. We thank you for this day, and thank you for the power and blood of Jesus Christ, and we ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. And folks, I've met the dog. It's a beautiful little thing. It needs
pity. It is.
It is.
It is business, too.
No, it is.
A smile on your face, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I adopted it.
Yeah, you gave it one steak. You kept that little piece of the steak, and the dog wouldn't leave him alone. Just sat right there at his feet.
Until it wouldn't eat anymore.
No, he kept going and going and going. You stuffed that little thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, anyway, gentlemen, all right, but we'll talk to you all later.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah.